Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Laura Levine. She's the Republican candidate for mayor of Syracuse in the upcoming November elections. She's currently the superintendent of the Lafayette Central School District and is a lifelong resident of the city. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'll just start with the basic departure point, I think, for anybody that's going to be running for this position. What are the most important things that you think in recent years the political leadership of the city has gotten wrong and need to be changed by any new administration?
Syracuse has made a lot of lists of records lately, and they are lists and records that no city wants to find itself on. We had a record number of homicides in 2016. We have the highest concentration of poverty among blacks and Hispanics of any city in the country, not cities of our size, but any city. The Brookings Institute recently listed us as 100th, which is dead last out of 100 cities our size for economic growth. Our schools are not safe. We did get up to 60% graduation rate, which is wonderful. Everybody who put forth effort to make that happen should be applauded. But it also means that 40% of our students are dropping out. We know what the research says about students who drop out of school and all of the problems that are stemming from that. So our solve rate on our homicide rate is the lowest it's ever been and probably the lowest among cities in the state. So from my viewpoint, I see a city in which I've lived my entire life in a state of decline, and the decline just seems to get managed and things seem to continue to get worse. So we have a serious problem of poverty. We have a problem of crime. We have a problem of schools that aren't safe and aren't successful in terms of the graduation rate. So the time has come for someone to take the lead and turn that around.
Well, and your response then sort of brings me right to my next question, which is many observers of the city have claimed that currently right now it's at a critical point in its history. You were looking back and noting a long-term decline, but it's right now at a critical point in its history, and it's either, depending on how you look at it, headed toward a renaissance of some kind. There's some evidence of that downtown, for example, or looking at the numbers and the finances, some kind of financial collapse. Could you reflect on this moment in time for the city and what it means for this particular mayor's race?
Again, we want to celebrate all the success that we're seeing. So the renaissance, as you put it, of downtown is an area of celebration. What we're seeing in other cities across the country and other markets, though, is already a depression of those markets. So where the millennials have been attracted to renovated downtowns, we're starting to see some of those markets soften. Mm-hmm. Occupancy rates are going up. Rents are coming down. And my view is that when the millennials are ready to start families and they have children who are going to become school-aged, they're not staying in the city of Syracuse. They're looking for a better school district. So I look not only at what's going downtown, but at what's going on in the neighborhoods throughout the city. And many people throughout the city feel like the quality of life in neighborhoods has deteriorated. They don't feel safe in their own neighborhoods. I've been at many neighborhood meetings, Neighborhood Watch, TNT meetings. I've heard representatives from the Syracuse Police Department tell residents, when you leave your house, don't have your cell phone showing. Don't carry your purse. Syracuse police officer told people at a Neighborhood Watch meeting, refugees are being targeted. People around the city don't feel safe. They want to go to the armory after a game for an event, don't feel safe. So we have to look at the whole city from the balcony, from the higher view, and say, what's happening in our neighborhoods? People don't feel safe. So the quality of life is of the utmost importance. The next mayor needs to pay attention to that.
And I want to come back to something you said at the outset, in describing, I think, to use your words, the decline has been managed, you know, in recent years, but not really dealt with. And push a little bit further on that idea. Can you identify certain decisions that were taken by leadership or directions that were gone in or not gone in that have made that problem worse? I mean, one way to look at Syracuse's long-term trajectory is, you know, there are big structural economic forces that have hit it. The deindustrialization, for one, some big losses of big companies, et cetera. concentration of poverty, which you already mentioned. So to what extent are these things that are part of larger tectonic forces in American society that hit Syracuse particularly hard, and what things that decisions that were made or policies that were taken or not taken that could have been done differently in the recent decade, or if you want to look even further back before that, that have put us where we are?
You can point to a lot of variables and reasons for why Syracuse has been in a state of decline. Some people blame the state of New York, the taxes are too high. Some people blame the number of unfunded mandates that municipalities face. Public school districts in New York State at last count deal with somewhere around 150 unfunded mandates. And yet it's part of what we do. We manage the requirements, we meet the requirements, and most of us stay under the 2% tax cap when we get our budgets passed. So yes, you can point to any number of reasons, say this is the reason we're in a state of decline, but what's being done about it? And that's where leadership is required. People do that all the time. We see cities around the country that have faced the same challenges that we face, and yet for some reason, someone has been able to turn those places around. And the reason that has worked is called leadership. We need somebody at City Hall who knows how to collaborate, cooperate, work with all different stakeholder groups, someone who doesn't pick fights or find reasons to say this isn't going to be working and here's why and point fingers. You can't have that. You need somebody who works with everybody else, who knows how to say what are our areas of agreement and how do we capitalize on those areas. And the areas where we disagree, what are we going to do to move forward on those things? So it just comes back to cooperative, collaborative leadership.
And so what I'm hearing in that then is it sounds like then the recent leadership, and it sounds like what you're saying, I suppose, is the mayor has not been collaborative enough and has been too conflictual. Is that fair to say to pulling that out from what you just said?
It's not how I would do business. There, again, you know, I've said this before. I believe in my heart that everybody goes to work every day with the best intentions, doing what he or she feels is best for his or her constituent groups. I don't disparage anybody. It's just that I would do things differently. I would be looking at people saying, let's sit down. I want to hear your voice. Go around to the neighborhoods. Talk to people. Go in and out of community meetings. Find out what the concerns are. Bring those voices to the table. Allow maximum representation. Put your best minds together and say, what do we need to do to make things better? How are we going to make the schools better? How are we going to make the schools safer? How are we going to get the roads cleaned when they are supposed to be? I can't believe the number of people tell me my leaves didn't get picked up, whatever. I mean, these are not insurmountable problems. We have great talent already in the city. It's just a question of bringing everybody together and leading a good, communicative, collaborative, cooperative relationship.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Laura Levine, Republican candidate for Syracuse mayor. Well, your deepest public policy background obviously is in education. You've been working in that field for a very long time. And I have two questions then that come out of that. First of all, as mayor, would you be a more hands-on mayor when it comes to the management and the leadership of the city school system? Is that something you would actually get involved in a more specific way than perhaps some of the other policy areas that a mayor might be involved in?
What I'm finding with each passing week is that the reason my candidacy is becoming more and more attractive to people is that they are concerned about the public schools. I hear it everywhere I go. We've had some community groups who voted that education in Syracuse is their number one concern, and that's over crime, that's over poverty. So I'm not running to be the school superintendent. We have a very fine school superintendent. My priority is to use the mayoralty as what they call the bully pulpit, and I say that as an adjective and not the bully as a noun, to provide the resources and support that the Syracuse City School District needs. And at the same time, to set the standard, what are the benchmarks that have to be met to meet those standards and to hold people accountable. But it's also going to be my job, as I said, to get those resources and support. So, for example, Westside Academy at Danforth, at their recent meeting, was discussion about the fact that the building needs $54 million for a renovation, and something around $17 million is available. That's unacceptable. You know, the ceilings are caving in. That's not the fault of the administration in the Syracuse City School District. We need people who will come together and say, this is important. This is our priority. The people who live in Syracuse are telling me that their number one priority is what goes on in the city schools. We have to give them the support and resources they need.
So let me delve into that a little bit more deeply then. What kinds of specific changes would you want to make and how the schools are presently run? If I heard you correctly just a second ago, it sounds like you're suggesting that redirection of more resources to the schools. Well, that brings up the question of where those resources come from, and are we talking about a reallocation or increase in a tax? So tell me about how you see that happening.
Well, as I indicated once in a recent interview, raising taxes, property taxes, is not the way to go. Only half the properties on the roll are generating property tax revenue, and raising the taxes by even 1% generates a paltry amount compared to what we need. So it's not necessarily a reallocation of resources. It's somebody who knows how to go out and talk to people and say, we need more. Bring in more into Syracuse. We have needs in all areas, infrastructure. We're not going to get our roads paved at the rate we need. Someone calculated if we pave our roads at the rate that has been suggested in this current budget, it's going to take 200 years to repave all our roads. So we need somebody who knows how to go out, collaborate, bring people in, bring people together and say, this is important. This is the city that we are literally at the crossroads of New York State, right, where the Thruway and 81 intersect. This is important. People are leaving the city. I had students in participation in government class who said to me, we know people leave Syracuse because they don't want their children coming to school here.
So how then does that happen? I mean, I get the idea that it would be good if we could bring more money into the Syracuse area. And one of the things that's usually associated with that kind of argument would be then the idea that there would be more effective lobbying of the state government and of the governor. But how are you going to do that in a way that's been more successful? That remains murky, I think. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, so what makes it challenging is you probably know that the Syracuse City School District is one of what we call the Big Five school districts in New York State, which means the residents do not get to vote on their budget the way we do in the other 728 school districts in New York State. So the school district has to put together the budget, the common council, the mayor, they all work that together. One of the ways to bring more money into it is to get more families to stay in the city of Syracuse. And the way to do that is to make the neighborhoods safer and more desirable. The neighborhoods are not safe. So we need, first of all, our police force is under-employed by 25%. We need to make sure that not only do we have a fully deployed Syracuse Police Department, but that those police are out in the community, in the neighborhoods, building relationships, building trusting relationships with the residents so that people know they can go to them without fear. And that will bring more people into the city. We have land bank. We have all these other vehicles in place to provide affordable housing for people. But people are not going to come to move here with young children if they don't want their children to come to the school district. When you ask a realtor, I'm moving to Central New York. Where's the best school district for my children? Tell me how many realtors say the Syracuse City School District. That is where we need to start.
You are listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Laura Levine, Republican candidate for Syracuse mayor. The election will take place this coming November. Well, the relationship between the city and the suburbs has proved to be a critical one. It's also been a source of tension politically. What strategies would you have for bolstering support for the city by the surrounding areas and improving that relationship?
The city has to be a safe place. It is an economic driver. The city draws a lot of people who live in the suburbs, but they have to know that they're going to be safe. So people in the suburbs have said to me, when we go to a game and we want to go to the Armory afterward, to be honest with you, Laura, we don't feel safe going there. We feel like we should be protected in some way. So, again, it's all coming back to quality of life in the neighborhoods and safety. As far as collaborating and sharing, that's a hot topic right now. There's a lot of discussion going on, especially among the school districts and the municipalities. A lot of sharing of services already goes on right now. There's already a lot of collaboration, cooperation. I just don't think it's memorialized or documented anywhere. So, again, this has to do with the quality of leadership. When you're a school superintendent, you have to get along with everybody. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with everybody or that you're going trying to arrive at the same outcomes that everybody wants. But when you're working with all of the different stakeholder groups that a school leader works with, school board, bargaining units, students, parents and guardians, people who live in the community who don't have children in the school, you're being mindful of your unfunded mandates, your regulations, the budget that you're trying to pass and staying under the 2% tax cap, while being mindful of your requirements and your mission, which is to make sure everybody in your school is safe and secure, that you're increasing your graduation and literacy rates. That takes leadership, that gets done, and that's what Syracuse needs.
Now, there have been differences between the city and the county when it comes to specific strategies of economic development. Tell me about your strategy for economic development and how you see the use of tax credits in particular to stimulate it, because that's been a topic of controversy in recent years.
It makes sense to me to provide incentives for companies maybe who aren't already in Central New York, from someplace far away, and they're looking at Syracuse and wondering if it's a viable place for them to set up business. It makes sense for me to find some way to, if you want to use the word, incentivize them to come here. We also need to be doing a lot to support our small businesses and making sure that there's just an ease of use in terms of bureaucracy, red tape, codes enforcement, all of those things. We should be making it easier and certainly less time consuming for some of the smaller businesses to get started in Syracuse.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Syracuse mayoral candidate Laura Levine. I want to push you a little bit harder on taking your answers here and sort of adding them all up and what seems arguably to be missing or what I'm still unsure of. You're emphasizing the importance of neighborhoods being safe and people feeling safe. And the quality of life in the in those neighborhoods, and then how that somehow is going to relate to bringing more families and I guess to increase the tax base of the city. But still, it seems to me, and I don't envy any of the candidates who happen to be successful. This seems like a really tough job to me, by the way. But the city is still going to have very deep challenges in concentrated poverty and in limited resources for the educational system, which you also identify as being very key. So I'm still not sure, like, how do you get to the way out or the way up here when the forces that you're working against are so structural and so long-term and so big?
Syracuse has to be a place where people want to live. If you drive around some of our neighborhoods, you will see structures, houses, in some cases neighborhoods that seem to be boarded up. What happened to the families who lived there? Why did they leave? Why are people with school-age children choosing to live out of the Syracuse City School District? First of all, shots are fired, I'm told, almost every day in the city of Syracuse. We don't have enough police officers. Some of the people who live in Syracuse don't feel that they have a trusting relationship with the police officers. That's a huge concern for me. I told people that if there's ever any allegation about police abuse, I'm not going to leave that to a review board only. I will review personally each and every one of those cases of allegation. We don't have safe enough neighborhoods. Our graduation rate is way too low. Those are reasons that people don't want to live here. Those can be fixed. There are anti-poverty programs out there. We need to work on literacy. The Say Yes program does an awful lot to keep students not only in school, graduating with their cohort, which should be a number one priority, but also to give them a plan for after high school. We have some students who graduate from our high schools but go on to commit crimes because they don't have a post-secondary plan. So for me, that is the centerpiece for what needs to be done to lead a turnaround in Syracuse.
So let me ask a political question now. The city is, and I'm sure you're aware, heavily tilted in, to the Democratic Party, overwhelmingly Democratic in party registration. And there's also an independent in the race this time who has a strong resume, and he's got high name recognition, and who many might see as, in a sense, a Republican alternative, given his last name of Walsh. So as a Republican, politically, what's your strategy for breaking through that and convincing a plurality of voters to vote for the person on the Republican Party line, you, for mayor?
I've been involved in public education for 40 years. I'm a what people might term a political outsider. I don't have that legacy family name that carries me in. I've been a Republican since I was old enough to vote for four major reasons. When I look at the tenets of the Republican platform, I see small government. I see government that is not intrusive on families. I see fiscal conservatism, and I see an emphasis on safety and security. That aligns with my own personal thinking. The parts of me that don't align so much with the platform are what most people would consider to be social agenda or social personal items. I'm very different from the traditional party platform in that respect. Pro-choice, excited to be in the Pride Parade. So I think once people talk to me and get to know me, their preconceived notions about me change quickly. And when they see what my priorities are and that I'm doing this just because I want to make my city better, that's all I have in it. I'm at a place in my life when I can devote all my time and energy to this. I can't sit back and watch another 4 years of Syracuse in a state of decline. It's not acceptable to me. I'm going to do whatever I can to make it better. I haven't been part of a current administration. I haven't been part of a previous administration. I'm a leader. I'm a school leader. There's a certain skill set that's required to be a successful school leader. I believe those are the same skills that are needed to be the mayor of Syracuse.
And very quickly, we've just got a couple seconds left. Getting that message out, though, is hard unless you have the resources of a campaign to put that message out on the airwaves and other ways. Where are you in the fundraising process in terms of being able to be viable and pushing that voice of being a different kind of Republican out to the public?
Fundraising is always a challenge. I'm learning that about running for public office. Again, I don't have that legacy name that kind of walks me into some fundraising doors. But at the same time, what I bring to this is almost a personality and a passion for leadership and my experience and my skill set. When I sit down and I talk to people one-to-one and I see the impact of our conversation on them and on me, that's what translates into support on election day at the polling booth. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. It's the impact that your message has on people and whether or not it's really registering with them.
That was Laura Levine. Laura, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.